it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, here we go. We're back. I know you. You know me.
I felt like I was just here.
It does kind of feel like you were just here. Midweek pod here. Shouts out to Pella Windows and Doors. They are always a loyal sponsor of the Nick Bob Podcast. Got the Yetis right here. Shouts out to Shoot 360. Lincoln got the shirt right here. We are like under 4 weeks away. Make sure you go to shoot360.com/Lincoln. If you haven't, fill out the I'm interested form. Spots are filling up. So make sure you do that. It's for kids, youngsters of all ages, you know, third, fourth grade rookies, all the way up to Bo Rude in his prime. And it's, you know what? It is just, I can't wait for people to see it. Are you around on October 13th, 14th area? Are you in town?
I was hoping to get up 1,000 jump shots.
Oh, you can get up 1,000.
I want to do 1,000, see what I actually like, how many I can actually make out of 1,000 counted.
It's too bad. I mean, you growing up, I wouldn't say you were like a good shooter. And then
I broke my arm three different times.
Cause like how far you, I mean, you like, that's not terrible, but I feel like you break your arm a bunch.
So I good was luck. Starting to become a shooter, like eighth, ninth grade.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember it was in ninth grade. I hit like 5 threes in a game. And I was like, the new era is on. And then I broke my arm the next year, broke it again the year after. And then it's just like, and then I was already going to play football. So it's like, that's it for me.
And you kind of got like big. And so you morphed into like a small ball five kind of.
And that's what I had to play for our team, right. Which is like, and then it's like, you're doing big man drills while you guys are shooting.
Yes.
Doing Isn't shooting
that
funny?
Yeah, you're right. Like there was a version of your basketball career that could have been a very different. Yeah, cause you're not a,
I'm a 6'4" or 6'5".
Yes, I mean, but you were good. You had good feel with your back to the basket, but it's what you needed shoot 360.
I needed shoot 360.
You needed shoot 360.
It didn't exist at the time. I would say that's the reason I'm not in the NBA right now.
I would agree with that. I know for me, I just, one of the things I love about shoot 360, we'll get to Nebraska football here for a second, is just when I first saw it, I never forget about what it was like growing up and just remember how bad I always wanted to go shoot somewhere. You wanted to get into
you couldn't sometimes get to it.
You couldn't. It was hard. Finding a gym, finding a hoop was really hard. I remember renting a court sometime ever at the Calvert Rec Center.
Yeah, wintertime. Think about wintertime.
You can't. Yeah. I mean, the amount of times I would drive over. Now, Coach Smith would sometimes let me into Lincoln Southeast and I would shoot. But the amount of times on weekends, in the summers, all that stuff, that I would just drive over to Southeast and I would try basically, I feel like I can say this now, hopefully, I would basically break into Southeast.
Exactly.
Like try to hope, like just hope some door was ajar.
Yeah.
And then you hope, okay, I'm in. Now you got to get into the gym and hope the hoop is down. I say all that to say like, this is just, would have loved this.
Well, and think about this.
To pieces.
Think even if like, you know, you got a hoop at your house. That's great. Except for we all know Mr. Slanted Driveway. We're like, you're good from one side and you never shoot from the side that's slanted. So you become bad from one side of the floor or the other. Or it's like,
or it's windy out.
The
or
wind, it's, right? Yeah. So I can remember we'd go to Rousseau.
Yes.
And we'd play and it's the big thick rims.
Yep.
And the wind would blow. And it was like trying to navigate the wind in the rims. It's almost like you're not playing basketball. You're playing a different game. So this gets you inside on a real court. You get 1,000 jumpers up. I mean, that's the stuff.
That's what
how you become
do.
A great shooter.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's literally, it's not complicated. The way to build up your skill is through reps, just getting up shots. And this provides that, you know? But I always have a theory with like, you know, New York players, like they're, when you think of a New York guard, you think of like a
ball
slasher.
It's tough with the ball.
And and the reason is, I think, is because most of those playground guys that grow up playing outside, you're going to, you can't shoot, you know, like, cause you're not going to, if blowing wind, like game point, what are you going to do? You're going to the rack
and you don't have a place to just get up shots.
Yes.
So you get good. The courts are taken up. It's more about ball handling.
That's it.
It is. You don't get a place. That's why the Indiana kids on the farm, all they could do was hit shots out there. But
I'm telling you, there's something to
dribble as much, right?
There's something to that.
Yeah.
There's something to that. So yeah, shoot360.com/Lincoln. Go check out the website. There's videos there. Fill out the I'm interested form. We are getting close. I'm about to do my media tour. I'm going on a bunch of different shows. I'm fired up to do it.
You're going on a pod tour?
I'm going on a pod tour. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going on Club Random with Bill Maher. I'm going to go on Joe Rogan's podcast. Yes. I'm going on with Simmons and Russillo. I'm going to go on with them.
Gotta spread the good word. Got to do the podcast tour.
Smartless. I'm going on with the Smartless guys. That ought to go really well for me. It's going to be great. Conan O'Brien needs a friend. Talking to Shoot360.
How do you feel about Conan, Nick?
Being friends with Conan, Nick,
Conan, can you imagine? Makes me feel
the least downloaded episode in the world. Nick Bond, Conan O'Brien needs a friend. Okay, my friend. Let's talk. I just have a bunch. This is going to be kind of a free-flowing conversation. What I like about doing these pods with you is I can just write down a bunch of things and we can kind of let her rip and go. Big news. We're taping this. It's about 4:30 on Tuesday. Rough press conference news yesterday. The injury bug has bit Nebraska. And really, the injury bug has bit. If you really stop and think about all the what you thought the offense would look like, you thought Xavier Betts would be there. Nope. You thought Garcia Castaneda would be there. He gets hurt. You were maybe hoping Eric Gilbert, that the five-star tight end transfer from Georgia and LSU, would be in the fold. He didn't get a waiver. Now you get into the season.
Robbing people.
And unfortunately, Rob, that is unfortunate. Did you see that video too?
Yeah, I saw a picture.
Oh, man, yikes. Not good. Not good at all.
Feel less bad for him when you're like,
I know, you're
really
like,
wanted that. Whatever you're getting.
Really breaking into it.
You're
that
really
thing.
Like a ski mask guy, you know, like.
You really, there's one like thing, kind I thought of breaking
like,
in.
And I thought it was like, hey, he was at the store and he's like, I'll just take these out with me.
I thought he was like Nick Bob breaking into Lincoln Southeast. Like, yeah, like, is it open? It's
I just
want to
shoot a couple hoops. It's like, that's a good guy. Just sort of maybe break in a little bit. Like,
you know,
he was like the robber from movies. Like,
yes.
Give me my ski mask.
Yes. Let me break the window, kick the door in. Yeah. A little different than Nick Bob breaking in like 2001. But the big news, Gabe Irvin out for the season, dislocated hip.
Yeah. Ooh.
And then Ramir Johnson out for the season, dislocated shoulder. So. Yikes.
I mean,
I guess just your reaction. And
my reaction is, I mean, we spent a decent amount of time talking about Anthony Grant and Gabe Irvin last pod, and we didn't know this information. Right. But like we were still, you know, like we're talking about how, hey, Grant's becoming like, it's become more clear, like Grant's got more juice, but like the idea was like, we have to have two running backs. You got to have two running backs. So like having Grant with Irvin felt like, okay, we got a decent running attack. Okay, now it's like we are going to be stretched thin. Anthony Grant's going to have a lot on his shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, like spelling him with who, right? So is it
Emmett Johnson?
So Emmett Johnson and the kid from New Jersey is like Ives.
Yeah, I think that's,
you know,
what
like, whew, like these are guys that have never seen the field. And now you're asking them to take 10 carries a game. Right. I mean, the backup running back gets 5 to 10 carries, you know, usually. So, and that was usually like, you know, Ramir was our third down and Gabe was like the starter. And then Grant was the
counterpunch,
you know?
Right.
So
especially they were different kinds of runners a little bit, you know,
and Gabe was our short yard. So now it's like, okay, who's short? Like it's Grant. He's our third down back. Like basically it's, can these guys give Grant a blow when he needs it? And we don't want this guy worn out by, you know, 6-7 games in the season. We need him for that final stretch. And
the good thing is that, like we said in the last pod, I do think just all things being equal, ball in his hands, running, I do think Anthony Grant is the best runner. So at least you do have like the one guy you got there is who I think is their most talented runner.
Yeah.
He's been in this spot before. He was the guy last year. So this isn't like, man, can he handle it? He was the number one back for the entire season last year.
He did almost 1,000 yards last year.
Yeah,
the guy can run. He's a good player.
He had four games with at least 20 plus carries. He had 32 carries against Indiana. So like he's at least walked in down that road before.
Yeah. And I think he's a guy during the game. He's better when he gets the ball more.
Well, and that's the thing. I agree. Cause this, I agree with everything you said about like, you want to have two running backs and all that stuff. But I'm one of those guys that prefer, I don't love the revolving door of Rashad, you know, so like the one thing that is kind of good about this is it's going to force them to commit to Grant getting a lot of carries, which you were running back growing up. Like there is something real. It's just like anything. The more you touch the football, the more cracks you get it running, the better rhythm and flow you're going to get into. So I'm just trying to think of like silver linings here of like, hey, he's walked down this path before. He's been that dude before. He is the most talented guy. I am one of those dudes that kind of likes to just have a bell cow. Now it's just whether or not Johnson and the other dude can come in and give them anything.
But that's my worry. So my worry is like the complimentary football. Like, you know, even if he gets 20 carries a game, right? Like, you know, there's still like 5 to 10 carries and call it 20 or 30 plays, you know, like somebody's got to play 20 or 30 plays.
Go into the game.
Think about running routes, screen passes, probably that, you know, he was never great on third down.
No.
And now it's like, so do we have a third down back? Do you know,
blitz pickups,
all the things that like are part of winning the complimentary football that like Gabe Urban was like pretty trustworthy. Johnson Ramir was pretty, he played fifth year guy, like trustworthy, right? Yes. He was our third down back. That is the stuff that I think maybe goes unnoticed, but like the complimentary football that second and third back usually help you play.
You can take that baseball and throw it in my face if this is a stupid question, but it's signed by George Brett, right?
So given to me, when I was a kid.
Let's not throw the George Brett baseball at me. Let's save that. You can just punch me instead. I've never really thought of it like this. Do you ever, with a freshman running back that's very inexperienced from a defensive perspective on like a third down, do you kind of want to blitz to almost test him?
Yes. Yep.
I never thought about, because when you think of blitzing, you think like we're getting after that quarterback. I mean, would you?
But think of blitzes is
you are doing that.
The idea when you're scheming a blitz in my mind is like you go, here's what we think they're going to be in, and here's how we attack them, like how we attack their blocking scheme, right? So if they typically protect, let's say, you know, they slide and the back comes here, or the back inserts, like there's going to be different ways they block certain looks. And so if you get a feel for if they come out in this and we can call this certain blitz, it might put the matchup you want where like it gets Luke Reimer one-on-one on this guy.
Like he did against Colorado.
Can this guy block? And you tell Luke, run right through his face, right?
Yes.
Or if they're trying to block an edge, you know.
Yeah.
All these types of things, right? There's different ways to attack it. So like you're bringing people maybe where this guy's got to protect that. So he's got to make a decision 2-on-1. He should take the inside guy and sometimes they take the outside guy. And then you have a quicker, cleaner run. Like these are ways to scheme, you know, scheme their scheme, right? Mm-hmm. And if this guy's in, maybe that's part of what you're thinking.
Just a thought. I don't know. And it just screams that for these obvious passing situations, given Nebraska's two quarterback situation right now they're not the greatest passers in the world. Sims is turnover prone. Harburg is really inexperienced. If it's 3rd and 7 against Michigan, Harburg's in the gun. Sims is in the gun. Emmett Johnson's next to him. It's www.blitz.com.
Yeah, but I also think, you know, I think some people make jokes like Jeff Sims should go to running backs. Like, no, he should not.
I don't understand that.
No, like, he should not. But here's actually a thought is if you don't got two real running backs, like I don't know how good Emmett Johnson and Ives are, but maybe they are good and it helps ease some of that pressure on Grant. But you do have Jeff Sims as a running quarterback and Harburg as a running quarterback. So maybe this is like, you know, like maybe they're like, hey, we want to run our quarterbacks a certain amount.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the like we have to bring in. Let's say Harburg starts. Maybe this is where Jeff Sims has just like come in for a series and run 3 or 4 times.
Right.
Like as a quarterback run game run, like it's a designed trade-off, not as much for the true, like, because the quarterbacks need to sub and we need to play them both. Maybe the emphasis is more like, we got to give Grant's a spell from like just feeding it, and we need to get some productive running.
Interesting.
And Sims could come in, or Harbrook comes in. And it's less QB rotation and more like design QB run package.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Like, instead of saying, all right, this would be the time where you're going to give
Ives five carries,
why not have a package that is just like QB run heavy?
Yeah, Jeff Sims and him, but we're kind of emphasizing Sims.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
That's where I want Sims running up. I don't want to see Sims in the back of the eye. Like, he doesn't know how to run there.
And there's a big difference between, I know it sounds weird. There's a big difference between being like quarterback running and what that looks like versus running back running.
Exactly. Like, Jeff Sims running a stretch zone and having to read the cut. Like, he reads the, like, is the end down? I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm dropping back.
And I got a lane and I go. It's totally different.
Like, he's never probably done that in his life.
Yeah.
And it's a feel thing that I would say you don't want to be teaching him that now.
So the one, again, another silver lining, I'm just trying to think of, like, is what you're talking about. It's like, I think this forces Nebraska to even lean into the quarterback run game even more now.
Yeah.
Overall, I wrote this question down. How much does this, the news of Urban and Reamer out, does it impact? Like, is it enough to be like, I was thinking 6-6, but now I'm thinking 5 wins, or I was thinking this, or like, does it move it?
If it's not moving in a half game, I think me, or if it's not moving in a full game, it's moving in a half game.
Okay. Like, wow.
Down.
Yeah.
I don't know how it doesn't.
Like, right.
It's your complimentary running backs when we don't got receivers.
Especially given the you open that offensive cupboard and
it's basically like a single guy before they get a girlfriend. It's like you have your friends over and you're like, you want some food? And you're like, and it's like
expired bread.
Dusty.
Like, bats fly out of it for no reason at all. But yeah,
you got any paper towels? Like, no.
I got a towel that I can give you. I got a t-shirt.
I washed my car with this towel, but you can use it.
I worked out with this in this t-shirt last Thursday. Just wipe your hands with it. It's no big deal.
My wife always kills me because I used cut-off sweatpants. You know, I had like these cut-off sweatpants that I had these like extra cloth from. Oven mitt.
What? For you didn't years. Have an oven mitt?
No, I never have an oven mitt. And she'd be like, why don't you have an oven mitt? I got this.
That's pretty.
But I had like 10 things like that around the house. And she'd be like, well, why don't you have like a headboard? You don't have a headboard for your bed. It's like, well, why would I need one of those? Or like, I didn't have a side table. I'd be like, well, I just put my stuff on the floor. I didn't have a dresser. And I just stacked the clothes around the room. And she'd go, you don't have a dresser? I'm like, no, I just stack it around the room. Like, why would I go buy a dresser, right? And so you didn't know this, did you?
No. I guess now that I'm thinking about like your room in college, I don't remember seeing a dresser. I don't think.
No, never. Why would you have it? Well, I mean, just put it on the floor. You're a single guy.
You're preaching to the choir. I would not have pictures on my wall. I would not have art. I would not have I don't think about things like that.
So one of the things I'm most proud of in my life. So I bought my first house 33 years old.
Yeah.
I mean this. Before that point, I had never, ever bought a piece of furniture. I went 33 years.
No purchase at
never.
All.
So if somebody's like, I don't want this couch, I'd be like, oh, that's my couch.
Right.
And then they go, somebody would be like, I don't need this table.
Because you had the couches that were in the Rude basement, right?
I had one from there. And then my other one,
the recliner.
Roommate had
you had the
recliner.
Yeah.
And then the table was my sister's and a bunch of like silverware. People like, throwing the silver. I'm like, that's my silverware. No. I never bought... A pot, a pan, a cup, a glass.
I think I respect it. I think the more I listen to it, the more I respect it. I didn't know about the oven mitt thing.
No, and then they never bought an oven mitt. Why would I buy an oven mitt? I got sweatpants.
I got sweatpants that I cut.
So now I have a house. I have things. I got a headboard. Yeah,
now you're in your kitchen. I'm domesticated. Like, I went over to your house one time. You and I had like whiskey and you had like the ball ice.
Nick, I've been fully domesticated.
Look at that. Look at us. We had like, it was great. I enjoyed that.
I've been fully domesticated.
The best cup of whiskey I've ever had in my life. Okay, so we got on that because of the the lack of offensive weapons. The cupboard was bare. That's it.
That's right.
So yeah, I don't know. You're swaying. I was seeing it as an impact. I wasn't sure if I was ready to move it.
If you're a betting man, right? If you're a betting man,
yeah, it's gotta move it.
I mean, you're starting running back up to this point, and you're starting third down back. Even though we know Grant is like, we've kind of come to the conclusion he's the best running back. Yeah. He had not been playing. Like, that's where we gotta be real. Is like, they were okay not playing him. So like, we gotta be real with what that means. I think Grant will do good this year, but that depth is gonna hurt us.
Okay.
At some point it will hurt us. What if it's hurt? Oh, damn.
Yeah,
that's
yikes.
That's two games you might lose then, right?
Okay. Then here's bigger issue. The quarterback situation, or what's around the quarterback, the lack of wide receivers, the running back injuries, the like, what to you is the bigger issue, the bigger problem?
I would say not turning a blind eye towards what's in the cupboard, but that QB spot is all be all at this point. We saw that first game. It doesn't matter who your receivers are. If you can't get the snap, you can't make a throw. Same with the second game. It doesn't matter if that guy can't do it. If that guy can do it and the cupboard's bare, I'm going to take that risk. But you can't have bad QB.
I think I was listening to Sam McEwen on the radio, and he was talking about how he thinks it's he thinks it's more what's around the quarterback that's the more of the code red situation than the quarterback. But I just disagree. And I just think if you just do this exercise of like, would you rather have right now Shedeur Sanders? You could make a trade and you could get Shedeur Sanders, or you could get, you know, a good running back and a good receiver, but you keep Heine and Sims.
I'd take Shedeur. I would, because I would take him and play every one of our backups at every position. And I just think it gives you a totally different confidence. It gives you a totally different ability to run whatever you want to run. Those first two games, I mean, we couldn't even dream of winning them because it was debilitating. Like, if you can't just do the basic things, it doesn't matter what those other guys do almost.
Yeah, I agree. That's where I'm at. And the other thing along those lines, because Satterfield spoke today and he was talking about how they got to find more of a passing game if they want to win games and all those things. I didn't realize this. I saw this nugget in Husker Extra that right now, Nebraska's offense, they're averaging 21.7 pass attempts per game. That ranks only ahead of the three military academies.
That's telling.
I mean, wow. Does it feel like that?
Yeah, I think here's why. We've played some it's been a slow pace.
That's where I think it's more a product of the pace and the turnovers. Like, you turn it over 4 times in a game. Well, that's going to cut. I mean, how many plays are you losing with that?
We've lost a lot. Yeah, we've lost a lot of plays from turnovers.
Yeah.
And from just like the slow pace. That together is, I think, that stat. I mean, we're not like we don't throw it. I mean, I'd love to see our run pass ratio.
Yeah, but I just saw that. I was like, it doesn't feel, I'm not, certainly they're not, you know, this isn't Danny Werfel and the Florida Gators back in the day where you're airing it out nonstop. I mean, it's like I'm certainly not suggesting that they're airing it out. They're not, but I also don't think this is like I mean, Harbaugh threw the ball 24 times the other day. I mean, but it's only 24. I mean, it's also a window into like, people are airing that bitch out now. Like, people are throwing the football 40 to 50 times a game. It's just, I just saw that stat and was surprised by it. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you in that I think the more code red situation is the quarterback right now, as crazy as that sounds. What do you think? It sounds like, curious, having a couple of days to sleep on it and think on it. The Sims Harbaugh situation, it sounds like right now they're splitting the reps in practice. I think there's a little gamesmanship from Rule in trying not divulge too much on where Sims is at. I think that I would always advise to go the Belichick route and just kind of give people nothing with stuff like that. Yeah. But it's also like the game plan. It's not like if I'm Louisiana Tech, whether it's Sims or Harburg, I don't think that really alters like how I'm approaching the defensive approach to this thing. But is there a chance they both play in the game this weekend?
I think that's one of the things I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about this week. I go, what are the chances they don't play them both? I think the chances that they don't both play is getting lower by the day. I think they're both going to play. Like, I think whether Harburg starts or Sim starts, the other guy is getting a series in the first half.
Okay.
That's where my head's going now.
Even are you cool with that? What do you think of that?
I am, because it's not, especially if they're going to run these guys. I think the odds that the other guy's not playing anyway this year, it's like,
yeah.
I just have a hunch that, I don't know. I don't know who's going to get the start. I don't know that. I think they're both going to play. I think Harburg he played well enough and got the W, and Sims has played bad enough in two bad losses that Sims is still more talented. And I think they don't want to walk away from him yet. So I'm thinking that because it's Sims, he'll be playing at some point in that first half. Where if the roles were reversed and Sims came in, I don't think Harburg would play. Like, Harburg lost those first two and they had Sims waiting in the wings, Harburg would not be
playing. I feel like if you injected rules and truth serum, I think he wants it to be Sims. Like, I think he wants somehow for this to all shake out to where Sims is the guy out there. I just wonder, I'm like cool with it. And like I said, by it being like playing both guys, I also, the whole cliche thing, if you have two quarterbacks, you really have none. I don't know if I really agree with that. It does just make for an interesting, just the rhyme or reason of like why one guy's in and one guy's not will be interesting. So how they manage that.
I hope it's a competitive week of practice. Like, I hope these guys are, even though it's like, it is the quarterback position, I still think, hey, go compete, go be better this week in practice.
Yeah,
and if you are better, and maybe a guy like Jeff Sims needs that. I don't know Sims. I just don't know his demeanor and his psyche. Like, does he need to be pushed to be like, you're not going to play unless you take care of the ball, to be like, I'm taking care of the ball this week?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know him. Maybe he's one of those guys.
Yeah. I think we've talked about that. I think one of the things that some people pointed out is like, when you know you ain't coming out, like, you're just maybe subconsciously going to let up a little bit. But when you know, like, man, if I'm not perfect here, I'm out and I might not get back in. If T. Frazier and Brooke can compete.
Yeah.
These two guys can, like, that's where I said this on Sunday when we do the recap pod. Like, I just don't think either player is special enough that you got to cater to them or overly worry about them with this
whole
thing.
There's zero worries for me. I mean, like, this is about your team and winning, and these guys need to, Harburg, like I said, he's in a different situation, but like, Sims got to eat humble pie and be like, guess what? I am not good enough right now. I need to focus on taking care of the ball, command of the offense, details, and just, giving my team a chance to win. He needs to show that every single second of every day in practice. And if he does that, like, maybe he is the guy that can help the team win. Like, I don't know who gives our team the long-term better chance. I just know that Harburg won us a game.
Looked decent, didn't turn it over
other than turn it over. Yeah. And, he's probably earned the right to play too. So between them, I think you're going to see them both. But I would like to see big time competition this week.
I agree. I also, what you hope doesn't happen is that sometimes when people are in a battle, when they get their time to get out there, they think they got to go make a huge play to stay in the game or to seize control of the position. That what I don't love is the idea that Jeff Sims or Heinrich Harburg goes in there and goes, I gotta hit a home run here to warrant staying in, being the guy. You know, like, you hope those guys are.
This is where rules got to be good. He's got to be like, you know what the home run is for you too? Don't turn over the football. Yes. That's your home run. If you guys do that, you're going to play more.
Right.
That's got to be their home run. It can't be, you know, throw the ball in a laser and across the field and split two defenders. That makes you like that. That's
can't
that's
be not, what it is.
That's not our home run. Our home run is take care of the football and run physical, probably.
So that's what
makes smart decisions. I think
Rule strikes me as he'd be really good at that, of making sure these guys know, like, hey, Nick, your mindset.
Nick Baugh, the situation, very detailed play calling,
yes,
ball handling, very crisp.
Did you see the Syracuse play action? I think it was Syracuse, the quarterback, to seal the game. It was like they went for it on it was either third and like one or fourth and one to like seal the game. He did a play fake and literally held the ball, like, for my YouTube, for the people watching on YouTube, yeah. Fake, put the ball, hit it from it, and like watch the running back, and then turned and ran, and no one was there, and he iced the game. Like that. Nice. I love that. But that's, those guys need to be like, you're right. Like, your home runs are crisp ball handling, in and out of the huddle. Everything's managed. Don't turn it over. You're making, you know, like those, yeah, more so than any spectacular play. That's what you guys got to focus on. Because it is interesting if you don't play Sims this weekend. Like if let's say for a second you don't play Sims and you play Harburg, and Harburg plays fine and Nebraska wins. You can't go back to Sims for Michigan, can you? Like, if you win two games with Harburg,
So if Sims's ankle is worse than we think, he might not play.
I don't know.
If his ankle is okay, he needs to be battling and competing to get on the field, because he needs to make himself a part of this game plan this week, because everybody wants to play in the Michigan game, right? But like, if Harburg wins two in a row, then it gets harder to go, and now we're going to rotate more or go back to Sims. Like, no. If you're on a two-game win streak, you're not changing that.
I don't think you can. Like, yeah. I really, regardless of
La Tech at Northern, but like, you just won two in a row.
You just won two in a row. I don't know how you then go back.
Every time you're on a streak, once the streak begins, you don't mess with the streak.
I don't think you do. I'm not as worried about this situation anymore. Like,
because you're not worried about Jeff Sims' feelings is why.
I think there's that. And Harburg at least proved to be a functional, capable player.
Yes.
He's certainly not the greatest QB to ever walk the face of the earth, but he proved that, like, oh, you can kind of do it.
I mean, he did it. He won the game. Yeah. He went out and did his job. He ran hard. He ran physical. He's a big, talented kid. I mean, he's got a cannon for an arm. He can throw the ball.
Right.
You know, at least sometimes you go, oh, that, you know, the guy that's the backup comes in. It's like, they usually have a bit of rag arm.
Right.
Guy's got a bit of an NFL arm.
Right.
Like, he just doesn't, you know, like, seeing the field, accuracy, touch. That's a little bit been his MO, is he's kind of lacked that. But I mean, he's got a cannon. Like, mm-hmm. He'll throw the rock. If somebody goes deep, like, psh, the ball could go, which is kind of exciting.
Yes.
He at least has that ability as your backup, you know, kind of unproven guy. You go, okay, that's at least, you know, yeah, that's something to work with.
Yeah. And again, like we've already talked about, I look at it now, you got two capable players at Sims and Harburg. I think they're both similar players, which I actually think is a good thing. So you're not having to change a bunch of stuff.
Yep.
I think having both of them kind of alleviates that concern of running them too much, right? Like, that was the thought in the first half of the Minnesota game. I got a text from somebody that was like, I don't know how Sims is going to last the whole season if you're running him like that. Now you're kind of like, and we talked about this, but I'm just going into like, what's weird is I just said, like, it's the more code red situation, but and I believe that, but I'm not as concerned on some level about that situation because of what I'm laying out. Like, to me, it's a pretty straightforward situation. I think the interesting thing is just how you manage it from Rule's perspective on, like, who's in, who's out, why. That's kind of got to get clearly defined in some way.
Well, you want it defined, right? But it's also like, they're going to have to sort of sort it out by playing, right?
Yeah,
so you just can't, like, know. The practice will help, but like it's going to be practiced to sort of like, okay, how are we going to do it this game? And it's probably going to change throughout the year. Like they're definitely, this is a sorting out of a situation now. Maybe it will happen. We're like, yeah, we are going to play them both. Or maybe after a game of trying, which I think they will play them both this next game, maybe they go, nah, this guy's the guy, you know? So you need to, I think this is a bit of an experiment this week,
right,
to sort of like sort it out.
It's a good point. I think coaches sometimes forget that like sometimes you got to let it work itself out.
Yeah. You don't have the answer yet. The answer is, as much as you want the answer, you're probably not going to get it this week. And you're probably not, I mean, Michigan's tough because it's Michigan, but Michigan may also, it might, like if somebody plays well against Michigan, you're going to have your answer.
Yes. But I think, you know, like, man, what are we going to do with this? Like, you got to like, just let it.
Yeah.
Let it play itself out.
It's going to be a full another week. And it's going to be this week in the game, minimum probably just to get the sorting out, but probably it's going to be 2 or 3 weeks until you're like, okay, the stretch run for the season, I think it'll be more sorted, but not this week.
Let me shift to this real quick. Can I ask you a question that I'm just, this is just yeah, curious. This is my read on you. And I'm just, you seem a little hesitant to really buy into this defense. Is my reading you wrong? I certainly don't think you're like anti this defense or anything like that. You have to be pleased with what you, it's not like you're like, this team sucks, this defense sucks. I'm not saying that, but you seem a little like you're grabbing your chips and you're kind of sitting that hand down. Like,
Yeah.
What is it? What I'm curious. So, am I wrong on that?
You're not totally wrong. I love what I've seen. I'm like very proud of what they've done. They've played some good games. They've played well. They've looked good. I think for me, I haven't got that hunch yet where I'm like, oh, this is the real deal. You know, like this is going to be a whole season of this. I'm still hesitant. I haven't seen what I need to see yet before I'm like, just trust this defense. We're good. Like, you know, like we've played pretty good in the secondary. Linebackers have been solid. The D line has done their part. These DNs
not running on them.
You know, like I said, the 3-3-5 has looked crisp. It's looked sound. We've tackled well. Like all the things I've looked for, like we're doing it. So I'm like, this is a good sign. But whatever that thing is that I go in here and I go, you know it yet? I go, don't know it yet.
Yeah.
I don't know it yet.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think a part of what that thing that you're talking about is just how they're doing it. It's a little unconventional from the standpoint of, first of all, it's an unconventional defense, right? Just by its scheme. There isn't an elite player on that side of the ball. There's not a Levante. There's not a Randy Gregory. There's not a Prince. There's not a, you name it, kind of a guy out there. And they're just playing so many guys that you're like,
those are the points maybe that I would like, I wanted to be able to say, like, that's kind of how I'm feeling.
Where you go like this, it just,
I'm watching 20 guys play.
And you go, can this really? It's almost like you're on a heater at the blackjack table doing things that don't. And like, can this? Are we going to sit here for the rest of the night?
Not the blackjack table. Like, the more time you're there, so that's what I'm scared of. Is like, is it that we're that good, or are we? Is it just going our way right now?
I don't know.
Because time, if it's just going your way now, time is your enemy, right? But if you're really good, time is your friend. It doesn't matter.
Because it's not like they've played. Now, I thought Northern Illinois was awful offensively. Now, they did drop a few passes that maybe changed the game a little bit. But they played Colorado, and I know they got a 36 hung on them, but anybody watches that game, that's not entirely accurate of like indicative of what that game was like. Minnesota, I don't know. It's just, I think that's how, that's my read on you. But I can understand, because I'm like, it doesn't check the normal boxes of what you usually see with a great defense.
Yeah, and no stars, no star power right now. And no star power playing a lot of people. Tony White, I'm liking him. I'm liking I'm liking him right now.
They need to make sure they hang on to that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sort of like I'm coming that way. I like Tony White. I think he's just like schematically, it's looked good to me. So that's passing my test more than, but like the eye test of like who the guys are and how many of them are playing. I'm like, I go, that's fine against certain teams, but over the course of a season, we're going to play Michigan, Nick. We're going to play Wisconsin. We're going to play Iowa. We're going to play
Maryland.
Yep. Right. You know, and like Illinois always is comes out for us, plays us tough. Like that's what I'm going to be curious to see is like, what are we against those guys? I think this week. It's going to be fine. You know, they got a pretty good offense. We're going to be fine,
sure.
But we're going to learn a lot about this defense against Michigan.
It does. Two things with this, and we're just kind of, I mean, we could turn on the mic and, you know, it's like, oh, this defense is great and they're doing great. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I think they've played really well. But to your point, like as the season progresses and you play good teams and the grind sets in, like it's typically you need dudes. And it's hard to scheme your way through
and they're going to see they got more tape.
That's what I was doing my second point. Like, I wonder if there's a little bit of that too. Like with each passing game, these other coordinators get a chance to see more and more and more of this unique defense.
Yeah.
So I wonder where I wonder that Michigan, because they've played
Michigan,
Lucky Charms, Tech, like in Harbaugh. There's a part of me that wonders if Harbaugh has just been like sitting in his office.
Yeah.
And watching Tony White and like has got something for that ass. I don't know.
So, So I guess there's, this is what's so tough is you don't have, I don't know. I'm struggling because they're doing all the right things.
Yeah. But like, I don't want to make this seem like, geez, guys, like they're playing great and you're coming. I have really, really been impressed with what I've seen through three games, but that doesn't change the fact that there are elements of this that you're like, I don't even know what, you know what you're going
to
say?
I lost my train.
We're old now. It's like, I have to write things down.
It's actually like, I think from the last two seasons of Nebraska football, and some of these are the same guys that are playing. So they've been on both of these defenses, but the difference between the 21 and 22 defenses, right, was like, we were shutting out Michigan State, who was really good that year. We were playing Ohio State close. We were a tough defense. We basically had Michigan beat at home, who went to the national. That was the 21 defense. The 22 defense got Scott Frost fired.
Yeah.
They just collapsed the start of the season. They kind of rebounded.
Yeah. They're better at the end of the year, but
they tightened up, but they had a 3-game stretch where they were not good. Right. And what I don't know is that, which one I'm seeing, because the 22 had stretches where they could play, and then certain games they just kind of ran off the rail.
Because it's largely the same cast of characters. Robinson, it's Reimer, it's Henrich, it's Newsom, it's a lot of the same guys.
Some of the core guys. Then you're the new guys are sprinkling in. Nobody's a star, but there's a lot of they seem pretty solid.
Yeah.
So I'm being a little bit cautious. Like, okay, are we the 21 or 22 version, like with Tony White, whatever that is? And
right.
And
because some of it could be that too. It's like they got a better dude, you know, orchestrating it right now.
I thought 22, we'd be better than 21 because we had O'Shawn, we had Mathis, we had
Garrett Nelson.
Tanner Nelson and Mathis.
Yeah.
Robinson. I mean, I thought we were going to be a better defensive line. We're talking about, Mathis got sacks. We thought we had a star, right?
Yeah.
And Reimer got hurt. Henrich got hurt. Buford gets hurt. You know, it was just like, man, Tommy Hill was supposed to be the guy. Tommy Hill then was getting torched by Georgia Southern. You know, like that's stuff you don't know until you see enough. Yeah,
all
your
fair.
Guys.
I think we. Can,
I don't know yet.
I think we should. We can praise Tony White and what we've seen from the defense, but also just wonder, hey, what happens when more film gets out? Can you play this many guys as the season progresses? Can you can you go a whole season not have any like superstar and be like a top 15 defense? Like it just typically.
Can
it
you play
usually
Michigan?
Happen?
Can you play 25 guys against Michigan? Like, I just don't think you can. Like, you're a third string defensive lineman and third string cornerbacks. Like, they can't be in the game. Well, they cannot be in that game.
At some point, you got to tighten it up. Like, you could argue that, like, if you're calling an all-out cover zero blitz on third and 10 at Colorado, you can't have Tommy Hill on an island. No. Like, he's not proven that he can do that yet.
Yeah, that against, to me is...
I don't know if that was with Weaver or Hunter, but whatever it is, like he hasn't proven he can do that yet, you know? Yeah. Like, so it'll be interesting to see how it progresses. I'm wildly impressed with Tony White. This defense has been way better than I thought it would be. That's a top five rush defense. It's been amazing to watch, but is this sustainable?
My early prediction is that Tony White's Matt Rhule's best hire.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't even think that's
it's separating itself pretty quickly here.
For sure.
He seems like the best hire. You know, we got to let the year play out, but that's my early prediction.
Coming up next, I didn't even prep you on this because I want to just throw it at you. I want a three games in, taking into consideration injuries, but most importantly, what we've seen. We won't do it in order, but let's think about our five most important players.
Oh my gosh.
That's coming up next. First, I got to tell you about Pella Windows and Doors. If you're thinking about, you know, that new window, that new door, sometimes you need to actually go into the showroom and get a better sense of what you are installing into your home. And they have showrooms in Omaha and Lincoln. And it was really a game changer for me and my wife. Being able to go in, you get to see the color that you're thinking about, the design that you're thinking about. It just changes your comfort level with what you're installing into your home. And speaking of comfort, you get the Pella experts involved in the process. You're feeling great about it. So you can get a free in-home consultation. That's right. It is free. Well, you'll get a Pella expert to come out to your home and give you a Tony White-esque game plan for your windows and doors for whatever your wants, your needs, and your budget is. Go to PellaOmaha.com, PellaOmaha.com, or again, check out their showrooms in Omaha and Lincoln. Also got to tell you about Shoot 360. Lincoln coming October 14th. We're going to be open again. We were talking about it at the start. Basketball is a game of skill and a game of confidence. The only way to acquire both is through repetition. And that's basically the whole model that Shoot 360's skill development process is based on. Reps. In 30 minutes, you're going to be able to get up 300 plus shots on their arm machines, the automatic rebounding machines, the big nets that pass you the ball back out. You're getting real time objective feedback on every shot that you take with their patented and proprietary technology, tracking everything, arc depth, alignment, where you're at on the floor. All that gets tracked into your app as a member. You can review your workouts. You can also pre-plan your workouts because you have those all loaded in there. The skills bays are unbelievable. You got this big touch screen in front of you and it gamifies the whole process. All these kids these days, they love being in front of a tablet. This is kind of what that is, where you're playing like Bug Smash and memory and different things on a big board, but you're working on your ball handling and your passing. It is just, it's Sean Livingston called it Basketball Disneyland, and that's appropriately named. Check it out online, shoot360.com/Lincoln, shoot360.com/Lincoln. Fill out that I'm interested form. Okay, Bo Robert Rood. Five most important players. Let's not, for fun, do you want to do, should we, it, obviously it's like we could put Heinie in. Do you want to exclude Heinie and
sure.
Sims?
Sure.
Five most important players based on the three games we've seen, what we see with this team, what the formula is, all those kinds of things. I only wrote down six names. Let's sort it out. First name I wrote down, you can say like you're a bouncer at the club. You got
he's
that
in,
velvet
he's
rope.
Out. Now, when you say most important, we gotta
define
talk through.
It? Okay,
what are we talking? Are we saying the most important that they play well the rest of this year, or either the most important member of the team besides, like, I guess frame.
Yeah.
That
both. I think it's importance. Like you wouldn't have had, like I wrote Grant down now.
Okay.
I would not have had Grant on this list. I would not have had Irvin on this list. So you do for that particular scenario, I'm taking into consideration the position, what's behind him, what the offense needs, all those things. But then, for instance, I have Luke Reimer on that list just because he's the best player on the defense.
Yes.
So okay. You don't need to outthink yourself. Like okay. You need Luke. So I know that doesn't fully answer. It's just kind of like a combination of okay. All that. Okay. All right. So you're the bouncer. I walk up. I'm like, yo, what's up, man? Can I get in there?
All right, hold on. Tell me who's with you? Who's with you? Let me see. How many you got here?
I got, hold on, man. This is my guy. This is Luke Reimer right here. Luke, so what's up to my man?
What's up, Luke? Okay, he's in. He can be in.
Luke's in? Okay.
Yeah, done the CID.
Okay. All right. Hey, this is, they call him AG. This is Anthony Grant. He's had an interesting.
He fumbled, right? The fumble guy.
But no, he's good, man. You said last year he was.
Oh, he had 1,000. Okay, you're in.
AG's in. AG, I'll see you in there. We bring in this next guy. He's big. He's really big. Come here. They call him the polar bear. This is they call him Nash is his first name. This Nash. Can you let my guy Nash in?
Ooh.
Oh, now you're talking to your earpods. Like, hold on, let me talk to them.
How many people are inside? Okay, you just don't have to hold up here.
Okay, wow. Nash, hold on, dude. Hold on. Okay. Talk to me.
Okay, this is what we're talking about, the top five most important guys.
Nash has been a menace to society.
So that would put him over Ty Robinson.
I think he's
going
to have
one. I know, but you were saying you get one guy probably from the defensive line.
Yeah, I'm going
Who's
Nash.
Who's more important?
Kevin
if
Nash.
He's out, you're saying that means you think he's better than Robinson.
I could
see him being important to be. We need a compliment to Robinson.
Oh, so
but
you
I'm saying
so you'd rather
you can't have.
That's
you can't
I'm
have
I, in my as I was prepping for this, and maybe I am prisoner of the moment of the first two games, but or first three games. Right now, he leads the team in tackle in TFLs.
Yeah,
he has 1.5 sacks, so that puts him. Reimer's leading the way with 2.5. Then Lenhart's got 2. MJ Sherman's got 2. Jamari Butler has got 2. So, I mean, he's right there, top sack
Polar
guy.
Bear had his last game. He was excellent. I have never seen him play like that. He played awesome but I also don't know that, like, is he the guy that we're expecting to move the needle all year? Because if that's at people's expectations, I'm not there yet.
Okay, so right now, you're saying only one kid. So Ty Robinson is also next to him.
By time, say, guys, there's a guy to girl limit here. It's too many dudes.
Okay, so Ty. So
I think
Polar
Ty
Bear
still,
has to go to.
I think Polar Bear has outplayed Ty so far this year, but Ty's supposed to be our guy.
Okay, and so you're going to let Polar Bear in the club. He's not going, but you're letting Ty in the VIP.
That's probably the way I'd do it. Like, I'm proud of the way the Polar Bears played.
Okay.
He's been awesome. But like
right down Ty then.
But he's also not really a pass rusher. Ty is supposed to be a pass rusher as well. Ty is supposed to be our best player. We haven't really seen it yet.
I just feel like in three games, and maybe I'm overreacting, like there's something to, I feel kind of like Nash has splashed a little more to me than Ty has in like 3 years.
Ty, like, we've had some discussions about Ty. We're kind of waiting for Ty to be the guy that we, and I don't know. I'm like, I don't know where I'm at with him. But
someone's got to be on that D line.
Yeah.
You need someone in the club.
Can we come back to okay. You two both stay outside.
Hold on.
Go stay outside. We're going to talk about
this. Okay.
Give me the other guys.
Hold on. Come here real quick.
We got two in. We got two more. Give me two more.
Usually these guys all like to hang together and it's kind of hard to separate them, but come here. I want to introduce you to Ben Scott. Ben, say what's up. This is Bo, the bouncer. I feel like somebody in his crew, the old lineman over there, what's up? Hey, what up, Bo? Yeah, what's up? What's up? You know that. Sorry about that, Bo, the bouncer. But this is Ben Scott. I want Ben Scott in the club.
You want Ben Scott in the club?
Who else do you want? Like, Teddy Peño ass down, finally got a little run last game. Someone from the O-line has to be, and here's my line of thinking. You got to have, just like we have to have somebody from the D-line, we got to have somebody from the O-line.
But what about Teddy Peño ass?
So you would rather have Teddy Peño ass down?
I mean, I'm saying if you're drafting an offensive lineman when he's healthy, like, are you taking him or are you taking Scott? That's when I say importance. Like, well, yeah, I mean, he's got to come off.
Here's my only
thought. For one game, I'll take Scott, but I'm talking for the rest of the season. Don't you want Teddy? Or do we need Ben Scott?
I kind of feel like that center position with our shaky quarterback, like.
Okay.
Like, that was my thought of like, okay, those guys are a little rattled. As a former quarterback, like, I can't describe the when you trust the Heine, when you're Heine and you're putting your hands on a certain
Heine,
on a good Heine that you're like, oh, I know this Heine anywhere. Ben Scott, how you been?
An old recliner, I know.
Oh, hey, Ben Scott. That's I think there's a little
you're
bit
in
of
the dark. You're like, nope, Ben.
Oh, hold on, no.
Ben, it's you.
Ben, there you are.
I missed you.
Okay, so.
Okay.
Wow, Ben Scott, throwing Ben Scott out the club?
You made a good argument. Your quarterback center argument, the
that was interior, my reasoning.
The interior push. Teddy's been injured, and we don't know what he is right now. I'm going to let Ben Scott.
Scott's in the club. Ben, okay. Go on in there.
There we go.
Go on in there. Okay, so in the club at this point.
This is Reimer. This is a hard one.
This is Reimer's in. Grant is in. Grant has already purchased drinks and he's dancing, which is great to see him getting comfortable in his role. Grant, Reimer, and Ben Scott are in the club.
Yep.
You got the polar bear and Ty Robinson standing off to the side right now. They kind of got the cool knocked out of them. They might get in the club.
Yeah.
But you got to go talk
to
the owner.
Too many girls. There's too many girls for the big guys.
Okay. Next guy I wrote down.
This is a bit, I'm interested to see where you go with this one. Because this one, we got two sides of the ball where there's like three position groups that have not been touched.
You're going to be surprised. There's one position group I don't have anybody on here. And maybe I'm being stupid, but I feel like it's a product of like, well, okay.
Because are we doing five?
I want to do five.
Okay. So this is the hardest choice you've made here. If you're doing
two
five.
Guys, see, maybe I need to, I have two guys that are similar. One. Come over here real quick. If you looked at his ID, it would say Canton, Ohio on it.
Oh man, you're going there.
Or you come here real quick. You have Mr. First Down.
Oh, I see. I mean, I'm thinking defensive back.
See, my thought is like defensive back. There's so many of them. Like you can survive, like Hartsauger, Newsom doesn't play well. Like if to me, Washington is their most like dynamic.
Billy's important too, though.
Between, are you vibing with me that Fedoni, Washington, Billy Kemp? I just look at that.
I think you got to have one.
You got to have one of those guys.
I thought Billy Kemp.
I'm also a little down on Billy Kemp after this game.
He had a bad game. Like the polar bear had a great game. Billy Kemp specifically had a bad game.
I just look at Washington. To me, like a great game from Washington is more. Like if you told me for the rest of the season, Marcus Washington balls out or Billy Kemp balls out, part of me feels like, man, I kind of think Marcus Washington balling out might help just because he seems like he gets more first downs. Obviously,
I don't know. I think Billy Kemp might be more crucial to this offense.
Because he does return punts
and he is the possession guy. Like he's the scatter guy underneath that you're supposed to be getting the ball to. He had a bad game, but I still think he is more integral to this offense than maybe Washington.
Okay, so
Billy Kemp is walking. You can't see him. He's too short.
Billy's in the club?
Billy's going in the club.
So Billy Kemp's in the club.
And Fedoni is
Reimer's in the club.
He's in the Hall of Fame, so he doesn't need to be in the club. Okay?
I love that we put him in the Hall of Fame, but he can't get in the club.
He's not getting the club, though.
All right, so in the club at this point, in the VIP section, Billy Kemp, Luke Reimer, Anthony Grant, and Ben Scott. One more spot. You're the bouncer. I've presented you all my crew. If you want to make a phone call and invite someone else,
I'm gonna this is a tough one. I'm going. How many girls we got in the back? One. We got room for one.
One more. And I standing right here is the polar bear, Ty Robinson. You could. Fedoni hasn't left yet. Neither has Mr. First Down. You could certainly. I know. I got a text that Newsom is actually just down the street, and he'd love to come in this. And
here's what I'm gonna do. Here's what I'm gonna do. Because Ty's older and he's been around, you get to get in the club one more time, one more chance. You get to go to the club one more time. But next week, it might not
work out for him.
The polar bear is on the short list to get in. Fedoni's on the short list. Marcus Washington's on the very short list. If those three guys keep having good games and somebody else in that club, Billy Kemp and Ty Robinson, we don't see it.
Like we're giving the
bouncer. The bouncer's going to say, guys, we're a little full in here, and we'll send them out, and we got room for two.
What is it? Robert De Niro in Meet the Parents. He gives him like the, hey, Greg, you know, like that's what we're kind of giving, like Billy Kemp, Billy Ty Robinson, Ty, like we got our eyes on you.
This two games in, it's
time.
We got to give you some time, right? It's basically we got a game or two sample before the club is going to change some policies.
Yeah. So Billy Kemp, Luke Reimer, Anthony Grant, Ben Scott, and Ty Robinson are in the club.
They're in the club.
They're having a great time.
Have lots of fun.
All right, it's just kind of fun. We should do this like every couple of games. Because imagine
who's in the club. We'll do who's in the club.
Who's in the club? Yeah, who's in the club every couple of weeks to see how that alters? Because, I mean, wouldn't have had Ben Scott. You wouldn't have had Anthony Grant. No. I mean, AG is now officially in the club.
Got Luke.
By the way, as we kind of wrap this up now, any other thoughts on who's in the club? Are we good with who's in the club at this point?
We're good.
Okay.
Billy Kemp,
Luke Reimer, Anthony Grant, Ben Scott, Ty Robinson are in the club.
And the polar bear's waiting.
Polar bear's waiting. Fedoni's waiting. Marcus Washington's waiting. Teddy Peñuelas is waiting. Quentin Newsom's waiting. Malcolm Hartzog is waiting.
Hartzog. I like
Hartzog. I like Hartzog too.
He's a football player. That's why I like him.
So, I mean, it is kind of crazy to think that outside of the VIP are those guys.
We're downgrade. So I think
I'm punishing the depth of those DBs. Yeah,
so Newsom and the Hartzog are getting punished. And I would say Isaac Gifford has been really good.
He leads the team in tackles.
Yeah, he's crucial in that 3-3-5 being that rover. He just basically like run and tackle and see the whole field.
Yeah.
He's actually a guy that like borderline should be in the club right now. But I think Hartzog, Newsom, and Gifford are all getting punished because they're all playing so well collectively.
There's just so yes, yeah, and they're all in that secondary. Yeah,
so we need to
make them feel good. The owner, we're going to come over to them. We'll buy them a drink, make them feel okay about the fact that they didn't get them in the VIP
yet. Because we got to do what's the best for the team right now. We got to build these guys up for the team.
You get it. Let them go to the club. Let them pop a bottle. They think they're cool right now. But it's kind of crazy to think that here are the leading tacklers on the team. You got to go a long ways down before you're getting to who we let in the club. Isaac Gifford, Omar Brown, John Bullock, Malcolm Hartzog, Quentin Newsom, Luke Reimer, but then Deshaun Singleton, the polar bear, Javon Wright. I mean, that's a lot of dudes for you. Ty Robinson didn't play in the second half. Like he missed the equivalent of a game.
But he has to be, he's got to start making an impact. Blowing stuff up. He's got to close on some sacks. He's got to be consistent throughout a game. He can't be sporadic guy. Otherwise, he's going to be out of the club.
Yeah. And the club's a good place to be.
You want to be in the club.
Everybody wants to be in the club. It's a very exclusive club. Okay, real quick. You take a quick peek at the rest of the schedule. Michigan State, their Mel Tucker situation's a mess.
Yeah.
Northwestern is obviously still reeling and just not great. They're 1-2. Purdue and Illinois haven't looked great. They're both 1-2. Nebraska's favored by 20 this weekend against Louisiana Tech. And so you just look at that. You look at the roadie at Michigan State looks more doable. The roadie at Illinois doesn't look as daunting. I'm certainly not like Illinois will be favored in that game.
Yeah.
But that game doesn't look as like, oh boy, as you maybe thought it could have. I got to assume Nebraska will be favored against Northwestern and Purdue at home. that's five games right there.
Yeah.
That are like doable. So I don't know. It's just interesting to kind of stop for a second and kind of peek at what comes. I mean, obviously Michigan's Michigan. You're not focused on that, but the meat of that Louisiana Tech,
yeah,
Michigan State, Illinois, Northwestern, Purdue, like
schedule doesn't look bad. I mean, horrible. It doesn't. And at least, you know, Michigan, of course, plays nobody, Rutgers, us. So, you know, they're going to be really hard to beat because they're going to be off and running. You know what I mean? Like they did, it would be so much better if they got like their first game was like, oh, they got to go play Penn State
right.
The week before us. So they use all their juice and concentration preparing for that. It's unfortunate. So hopefully that, you know, Rutgers could do something to, you know, have them overlook us. But like that game is not going to be pretty in my guess.
That's my thought.
But we need to rally because we do have a winnable second half of the season. We do.
This weekend, I mean, Louisiana Tech, they're 2-2. The spread, 20 in favor of the Huskers. Their starting quarterback got knocked out of the last game. His status is a little bit up in the air. They got a little 5'7" dude. His first name is Smoke. And I mean, I think he's just out there.
I'd maybe let him in the club.
Oh, if I'm checking his ID and his first name's Smoke, I'm like, you're in the club, dog.
McLovin?
So
it's a cool name.
That is a cool name. That's a good impression. That's good. What a great name, McLovin. That's just so good. I think the defense plays well again. I want to see a clean game. I want to see a turnover-free game. I want to see a game that's organized, no timeouts because you're going to need to delay a game, those kinds of things. Be fascinating to see what happens. I don't have a great handle on this one. I think I'm saying Nebraska win 28-13.
I think that's fair. I mean, I think we're winning this game. You know, we were a little bit more concerned last week.
Yes.
I think
the spread was only like 10 or 11 too. So it's,
yeah, I think this, especially with the quarterback issue there, that's usually a big drop off. So
at a school like that,
we got to contain smoke where there's smoke, there might be fire.
Oh, I mean, I'm all in on my game ball's already going to smoke.
I mean, just contain smoke.
It's hard to contain smoke.
Throw cold water on smoke.
I mean,
it doesn't work.
Let's
cold water on smoke. It doesn't really work.
It's got. I mean, if it's smoky and you throw a bunch of water, it kind of get a little. Yeah,
a little bit more smoke. Usually that creates the smoke.
Well, no, that's fine.
But it means he hasn't got no fire.
He doesn't have any fire. Once you throw that water in there, it's fine. Smoke. You can smoke all you want as long as there's any fire behind that.
See what we just did to smoke.
Shut him down a little bit. So, yeah, it'll be fascinating to see what happens with the quarterback spot. It's going to be interesting to see what AG does, Anthony Grant does, being the guy. Be interesting to see what those two rugrats behind, two young fellas behind Anthony Grant look like. Can the defense keep it up? Big game. So it's kind of like your last tune-up before, you know, and then you're Big Ten the rest of the way. Yeah. So there you go. Hour and 7 minutes. Look at us being efficient, my friend. This is all pretty good. Okay. Recap pod. We'll be back. Louisiana Tech. And then it's Michigan week and it is on and popping. Do we need to go make sure everything's the club looks like it's getting a little rowdy in there.
Let's
go back to the club. Let's go back to the club.
A Herd at Sports Network production.